I have a dear, dear brother friend who's in glory now. He died actually from COVID in his 50s, who sang that song. He's got a deep, deep voice. Always did it a cappella. Wherever I was at, he was a member of our church in New Hampshire. Man, nobody could sing it like Brother Scott. Missionary to South Africa. Great work there he accomplished. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. We are talking about the tragic moment in the moments with the Master. This happens to be a tragic moment here. Not next week, I'll be gone next week, but the following week we'll continue in the afternoon with moments with the Master. We're going to be looking at not a tragic moment, but what we would call a terrifying moment that she has. It's a woman, and it comes out really good, but it's a terrifying moment at the beginning. We'll be looking at that. Look at verse number 17, if you would, of Mark chapter 10. We'll kind of review ourselves here a little bit. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then said Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. In this area, we've covered the first two of three points, the man and his deception we looked at. We saw the confusion and the confrontation, the clarification he had. And then we looked at last week, the man and his decision is where we're at today. Excuse me, I'm one ahead of myself there. We're going to look at the man and his earthly decision is what we'll look at first here this afternoon. And I'll try not to be too long here. But I want you to go back and zero back in on verse number 22, if you would. Verse number 22, it says, "And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." This verse here that is recorded by John Mark for us is the saddest part of this entire encounter. This young man makes a decision, decisions that people make all the time. And he makes a decision, but it is a tragic decision that he makes. Notice what he did here. First off, he made an earthly decision. He chose his possessions over Jesus. He chose his possessions over Jesus. He was being tested by Christ, and the test that he was given, he failed because he showed that he loved money. Thou cannot serve God, the Bible says, and mammon. He loved money more than he wanted to be saved. Remember the parable that Jesus gave of the rich farmer that went out and had tore his barns down and built more and more and more greater barns. He says that he should take his ease now, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible says, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall these be?" So we see that Jesus understands that many people have moments with him, but not every moment ends in rejoicing and gladness. Jesus, if you notice here, from what we see, will allow you and I to make our own choices. He will lay something out before us, and it's our decision how or what we will do. He will not only allow you to make choices, He will allow you to make wrong choices. This young man, which he was a rich young ruler, he made a wrong choice. Yours may not be money. It may be pleasure. It may be some sin that you just don't want to let go. I've even seen people who, because of their family, they put their family above God. As much as God wants us to love our families, they have to be secondary. He's the one that gave them to us. He will let you keep whatever you want to keep. But you have to ask yourself that question, is it really worth what I'm keeping more than my soul? Paul reminds us that there are two realms when he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he tells them, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, he says, are temporal. They're only temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Hold your place here and go back just a couple of pages to Mark chapter 8. Some of the most powerful words in Scripture in the New Testament are found here in Mark 8. I remember clearly the first time as a new Christian when I came across this. And I memorized both of these verses here when Jesus was speaking in Mark 8. Look at verse 36 and 37. He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Very important question that's coming from the lips of the Savior, the Creator, God Himself. What shall a man profit if he would gain the whole world, be on top of the world, and lose his own soul? Well, first off, nobody's ever gained the whole world. A lot of people have gained a lot. Elon Musk, I would put in that category, would you not? There's a lot of people who have gained a lot of things. But when he asks that question, what profit is to have all of these things and have a delightful, luxurious lifestyle and then die and lift up your eyes in hell for eternity, never ceasing? And then he asked the second question there, or what shall a man give in exchange? What are you going to trade for that? You've heard the term people are selling their souls. They really do sell their souls. The rich man, or this young man, we saw that when he heard that, look in verse 21, "One thing thou lackest." And then look at verse 22, after he heard it, was sad at that saying, and went away. The one that came running to Jesus fell down on his knees, acknowledged him as a good master, as God, rises up and is saddened, turns away, and walks away grieved because he had great possessions. He weighed his possessions and found them of greater worth than the salvation of his soul that Jesus offered. That was the earthly decision he made. We have the opportunity to make the same choices. But we go from the earthly decision to The next one, he made an eternal decision. One day, the Bible tells us that this man was a young man. He was a wealthy man. He had possessions. He had position. He was a ruler, probably we figured from the synagogue. So he had morals. He was upright, it appeared. He had religion. He had money. He had influence. And all those things, understand, cannot save a man's soul. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. And this man is wanting a due salvation, not a done salvation. He wants to have part in it. And yet he makes an earthly decision, which is also an eternal decision. And what I mean by that is that there came a day when he lost his youthfulness. Can anybody testify to that? It happens fairly quickly. And no matter how young you are, and no matter how many older people tell you how fast it happens, you don't really listen to them. You see, I remember as a kid going and visiting my great-grandparents. And I was just a little guy. They were both in their 90s. You would get to the front door of their porch and Mom and Dad would turn to all six of us kids, and they always had us in oldest to the youngest order. They had turned to all six of us kids and said, "Now you all know how you're supposed to behave, don't you?" They used to do that, by the way. And you know what the rule was? You go in, you sit down, and you don't talk until you're asked. That's how it was. And I remember us going in, and Grandpa and Grandma had a chair, a table in their chair. You know, don't, as you get older, have your own chair. It happens, folks, it happens. And, man, we go all six of us kids, we were small enough, we could all sit right on that couch. Boink, 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 boink. And you would just sit there. And you were polite. And then, did they look old? And as a kid, I thought, I'm glad I wasn't born looking like that. We think that they've always been old, because that's all we know at that level. It doesn't happen that way. We were all young. Matter of fact, Miss Peggy was just walking around here today, showing off a picture of this baby. Correct, Peggy? And in that picture of that baby, some of you saw it, was Bud. Had a little mustache, you could tell. No, he didn't. But it was Bud. And you think, wow, look at that little guy. At one point in time, somebody was walking around with little Bud. Well, it wasn't Bud that time. Walking around with little Bud, and everybody's walking up going, you know, making it how adults act. People were doing things to Bud that they wouldn't do to him now. You know, grabbing his cheeks and stuff. And we grow and we develop, and the same thing happened to this rich, young ruler. Life began passing by. He may have had plenty of money still. He may still have had influence. He still may be maintaining his morality and his religiosity. But he's aging. His youth faded. It was gone. He went into his retirement years. They call the golden years. One man in his 80s said, he goes, "They are fool's gold."
Well,
And one day he got sick. By the way, it doesn't give the name of this man, but it's a true story. And one day, that guy became headlines in the news under obituaries. He passed away. He died. And when he did, he immediately found out that his religion and his morality and his possessions and his influence was not enough. If Scripture's correct, we could interpret and add into that that if he never received Christ, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. As he closed his eyes for the last time in this life, he opened them into eternity, which he had made an eternal decision back when he was youthful. It's amazing how God will hold us to our decisions. Remember, that was not God's decision. God was not willing that this young man should perish. God was like he would be in the Old Testament to Israel. He says, I hold out to you life or death. And God doesn't do it like that because the Scripture says, he says, I hold out to you life or death. And then God goes, choose life. Lost forever. No second chances. Somebody's son, perhaps father, perhaps the little ones would come in and say, that's your great-grandfather now over there. Maybe he lived a long life. But he found himself in hell because of a decision made years prior. And he never changed his choice. Is there things in your life that right now that you're clutching that is more important than Jesus? Or will we make the wrong earthly and eternal choice that will take us to a place where there is no hope? It happens, folks. There are people, as I'm speaking, that right now in the hospitals all around that are going off into eternity who made a wrong choice. It is so vital that you understand that the choice that you make is an eternal choice, and there's one that needs to be made that you are completely convinced and confident that you're sure of, and that is that you have received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that you are saved? Do you think the thief on the cross knew the decision that he made? Do you think the Philippian jailer knew the decision that he made? Do you think Cornelius, understand Cornelius was an interesting guy. Cornelius was praying and giving and honoring God more than, it appears, a lot of Christians, and he wasn't even a believer then. Your prayers have come up before God, he said. And he was an unbeliever. And we got people who profess Christianity that don't have time for prayer. Outdone by the lost. And yet it moved God and he looked at his heart. And he sends, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, an angel. An angel comes and talks to Cornelius. Do you think the angel knew the gospel of Jesus Christ? Sure did. But he didn't use the angel. He used the angel to direct him to another individual, Peter. And God spoke to Peter through a vision. And God always uses people to tell people. God uses one beggar to tell another beggar where he found bread. You may be sitting here and as confident as anybody as I have talked about, that you know that you made the right eternal decision. Amen? And I hope that we all have. But is there someone that you know personally that God's Spirit will bring to your mind that hasn't? And one, you've never told them. Or two, it's been a while. And they may not have rejected it and walked away grieved, but they still are like King Agrippa, who doesn't make a decision but says, well, I'm almost persuaded. I understand what you're saying. I just, at a more convenient season, when things aren't like they are now, I'll get back. God doesn't, we're not working, God's not waiting on our schedule. He passes by as we talked about. And when he's passing by, there's a purpose in him passing by us. If you don't believe me, ask Zacchaeus. If you don't believe me, ask the woman at the well. If you don't believe me, ask the person sitting next to you. Did Jesus pass by? What eternal earthly decision did you make? Back in verse 21, and I'm going to wrap this up. Jesus summed up this young man's dilemma with these four words. I was going to say these five words. Sometimes I make mention and I get the wrong number and then I hear about it later. Thank you, guys. That's being a Berean, by the way. You know that, don't you? Those four words Jesus spoke to this young man, listen, and I'll guarantee you today, those four words that he heard, one thing thou lackest, he has not forgot those four words. He has carried those with him into eternity. Agrippa is carrying the words, almost persuaded. It is for sure, the Bible says, that ye shall die in your sins. The rich man lifted up his eyes being tormented, and he remembered. The memory stays. And he was more concerned about the souls of his five brothers than many people that are here on earth are about their siblings and family members. I preached a message over at the other property. It was a series. It might still be up on the web. Who knows? On the website. On hell. It wasn't a fire hell preaching message. It was just a study of several weeks on hell. I have done that series for years. I have preached it in every single church I have been in. So I've done it for a long time, 30 some years. But I usually, and I haven't yet, do it at least every 3 to 4 years. Because I think we need to be reminded. Matter of fact, I almost wonder if it ought to be preached annually. Because we get so entangled with the cares of life, we forget about eternity to where we don't even think about it. And when people are around us that we know are not saved, there's no urgency sometimes. And it just reminds us again of where they're heading, where we were heading, and how God saved us by His grace. Remember, this young man had everything, but the most important thing, Jesus Christ as his Savior. I hope that does not describe anybody in here today. Today, as we close, is another day, just as the young man had. Now it brings us to Jesus, to the Word. And we have an encounter with Him today. One, do you know Him as your Savior? Are you confident that you have the Son of God and that you have eternal life? And number two, as you're passing by, maybe He's just wanting to remind you. There's others around you that don't. People you know, people you don't know. We have a gospel track rack out here. We have bundles of 50 where you don't even have to talk with anybody. You just let God's Word do it. More than enough. There are 100, 200, 300, 450. There's some back there, five, probably close to 600 people could hear the gospel. 600 souls. You see, if you know Christ as your Savior, you've already made the right eternal decision, right? And now He says, go ye. As you are going and preach the gospel to every creature. Go in your neighborhood. Say, I think I'm going to take this block, this side of the street, cross over and come this side of the street. That's my activity for today. And just hang them on the doors. If they don't have a thing, just lay them on the floor mat and go on. If it says no trespassing, don't leave anything. Honor them. And just hang them. Hang them. Hang them. You might be surprised who might be touched. Rita and Peggy recently gave to Jordan's family, and they've been coming. They have been saved. They have been baptized. So you have Corey and Tiffany and the kids. They're bringing them and putting them in church. Only because they were out one day hanging these up. Had they not been doing that, they would not be here. I want you to let that sink in. If Jesus is speaking to your heart about the need of salvation or about the need of sharing the gift of God, then you need to make the right choice. Amen? I'm just challenging myself as much as you. When was the last time you did? Plus, you get physical exercise when you're walking, amen? Oh, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. Anybody here ever use their prayer maps to pray? One of the things on the prayer map is that we're, and if you're reading your prayer journal for each other, there's verses up at the top, and one of them says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Y'all have seen that? Have you ever been convicted while you're reading that verse that you're asked, God's saying, here's my prayer request, Kevin. I want you, Kevin, to pray to me, which I already know it's his will because he's asking me to do it. I want you to pray to me to send forth laborers. And then when it comes around on my day to pray over America, did I go out and do anything as a person going out in the harvest myself? Just things cross my mind. I would sure hate to have these just sit up here or back there and have somebody that is so close to coming to Christ, like a Cornelius, that's just waiting for a word from God. Father, we come before you today, this afternoon. We know that you're not willing that any should perish. Oh, how you love this young man, the Bible says. You looked upon him with compassion. And as it said that he was saddened by the statement and walked away grieved, I can only imagine that you were more grieved and saddened that he walked away. Father, may we have made the right eternal choice. May we have called upon you to be merciful to us as sinners. But it just doesn't stop there. If we're being conformed to the image of your Son, then we should have compassion on those that we come in contact with, whether it's gospel tract, door hangers, whatever it may be. May you convict us through your Spirit, and may we make not only an earthly decision, but that our decision would be eternal in changing and touching someone's eternal soul, and that would bless them because of our obedience. We just pray this now in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen.